Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi, I'm Phil.
And I'm Jane.
Welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up,
the relatable dating podcast.
It would be so much simpler because all these rules and all these things and all this toxic advice wouldn't exist. It's down to the fact that people know they can make money out of it and it's like, ah, this is what we're going to do.
Hello and welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up. I'm Phil, she's Jane, and today we are talking about toxic dating.
Toxic. I know, there's so much toxic dating about.
It's like the terms that we hear, isn't it? It's like, I spoke about it the other day. If you love it, if you love them, let them go. And if they come back, they love you too. It's like, no.
I know.
Why did they leave in the first place?
I know. And it's so easy to get trapped into that scenario.
I mean, there's so many.
Phil, I think you've been through like toxic relationships dating. I've been through it. I feel like majority of people have come across some sort of toxic traits.
Yeah. And I think a lot of these things come from the dating industry and dating culture, like toxic dating cultures. And the thing is, because they can make money out of it. Mm-hmm. And you know, if there was no money to be made out of dating, mm-hmm. it would be so much simpler because all these rules and all these things and all this toxic advice wouldn't exist. It's down to the fact that people know they can make money out of it. And it's like, ah, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, taking advantage of people, and it's not fair.
Massively. And they give the toxic dating advice, so then it goes wrong, and what happens is then they go to the coach directly to make money and pay money for their one-to-one, and it's like nah. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll talk about this one, the 3-day rule. If you've had a great time and they're into them, why should you wait 3 days to talk to them? Because have you heard of that rule before?
Yeah, and I just don't understand that one at all. Because you're playing games from the start.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
people are always like, I've heard this from dating coaches and other people in the industry, play a bit of the field, like let them chase you. And it's like anything could happen in those 3 days, right? God mm-hmm. forbid someone had an accident, right? But something like that could happen. And then that other person's like, what's going on? I just think communicate straight away. If you want to chat, just chat. Don't be overwhelming. But yeah, don't the 3-day thing. Oh, come on.
I've had this question quite a lot recently. And people are like, oh, I've just been on a date. How long should I wait until they ask me, and I'm like, well, have you had a good time? And they're like, yeah. I was like, message them. Say to them, listen, I've had a great time. I'm free on this day. Do you want to do this?
Yeah.
And you will get four responses. Okay. You'll get one of four responses. Yes, I'm free. That sounds amazing. Let's do this. Two, no, I'm not free, but we can do this day instead. Mm-hmm. Four, no, I'm not free. Or five, no response.
Yeah.
Now, if you get any of the second two, there's no second date there because they're not putting into, or it's not the type of person that you want to be with because they would rearrange. They'd say, I'm not free this day, but we can do this day.
And
instead.
That way, at least you've got an answer. Instead
yeah,
of
no
waiting,
time wasting.
Except no time wasting and none of that anxiety because I've been there, and Phil, I'm sure you've been there, where you're waiting and you're thinking, when is the best time to text? And you literally get yourself into such a mess. And you're talking to people and, you know, everyone's obviously got their own opinion, but you've got some people saying just do it, other people saying don't do it. You have to go with your gut instinct, what feels right for you.
Mm-hmm. Like I always say, unless it's gone absolutely amazing and you can tell it's gone amazing, never plan the second date on the first date.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is a lot of people feel like they're forced into saying yes.
Yeah.
When you turn around and go, hey, should we go on a second date? And they're like,
you're like,
yeah.
Especially if you don't want to turn ghosted. Them, you don't want to hurt someone's feelings, you know, but then,
yeah, and then
you're in a situation then.
Yeah, because they have time to think about it. They get home and they're like, oh, maybe I don't want to go on that date. And then it just ends up in that. So I think the best thing to say after the first date is message me when you get home. Okay. Because then instantly, if you get home first, drop them a message. But if they get home first, they'll drop you a message. And then that's the communication path opened again.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's when you say, I had a great time. Da, 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 da.
Or you may find out you've been blocked.
Or you might find out you've been blocked. Either way, you've got the answers, haven't you?
Exactly. So, you've got an answer. There's no games. That's happened to me before. I've actually thought the date went...
You've been blocked.
Yeah, I thought the date went really well. And then it wasn't until the next day I messaged. And that was it. I knew I was blocked. And I'm just like, so weird. Like, if only I knew what happened because everything seemed to go quite well. So anyway, got my answer.
No response is still a response.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Right. What do you feel about when people say you have to stay to the end of the day if you're not feeling it?
So I'm very polite. I couldn't get up from a date if it was going really badly and say, you know, this isn't going well, but I would say that was the old me. What I would say now is I'd cut it short. I wouldn't stay to like the very end, but I'd somehow cut it short. I'm just very aware of people's feelings. I don't want, you know, everyone's got their issues and you wouldn't want to be an extra cause of someone's mental health or whatnot. So,
no.
But then you don't want to waste time as well. So I can see you shaking your head, Phil. I can tell you would cut it short. I feel like I would probably stick it out and then wouldn't go back.
So what if someone was a catfish?
Oh, okay. For
fishing.
Yeah, for that situation, that's different. But if the date was just going bad and you weren't connecting, I feel like I would just see it through.
Nah, because what is seeing a date through? Because like I say, a first date, coffee, breakfast, something like that, that's quite quick. Whereas this is why I try and stare people away from dinner and stuff like that, because that's a set amount of time. And if it's not going well, you feel like you have to stay to the end, or it gets really awkward when you're like, no, I don't want dessert.
Yeah. So how would you get out of that situation then? If you felt like you it wasn't going well, how would you leave?
How would I leave? Ooh.
It's a hard one, isn't it?
I mean, it's probably different for me as a man because it's probably a lot easier for me. Whereas obviously being a woman, sometimes you feel like you might be in that situation if you don't know how they will react. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like best day. But for me, I would turn around and go, hey, like, I don't know. It's a case of speaking politely to him, saying, you know what? It's been okay, but I don't feel there's anything here. I don't want to waste either of our time. See you later. Adios.
We're mixing this.
I'll go to the toilet. I'll go to the toilet and jump out the window.
So I feel like we've got our opinions are totally different for this one, only because I'm still going to be that people pleaser. I'm still going to think, I'm just going to see it through because I don't want to hurt their feelings.
So this is why we recommend a short date.
Yes.
Because the thing is, a cup of coffee, what? It's going to be 20 minutes max if you want to do it like that. And then you're just like, oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, it's a good one to get out of if you're not feeling it. You can say, look, I've had a good time, but it was nice to meet you, but I don't see it going any further. And that's your, as soon as your coffee or tea's finished, you can just get out.
It's done. Yeah. And you can be polite still and just out the door, done. Mm-hmm. So I don't recommend like going on 20-mile walks for a first date, because can you imagine? yeah, I think we should turn around here.
That happened
like
to my
10
friend,
miles in.
And she was so mad. The guy had been asking her for a long time to go on a date, and then she eventually gave in. And he says, like, I'll take you somewhere for a surprise. And it ends up being like an hour drive from where she lives in this hike up a hill. And she was just like, I felt like I couldn't get out of this date. So, yeah, there we are. Maybe never ask for surprises for the first date.
No way you're going. Right. The whole thing of men insisting that they get a woman home safely on the first date. Right to their doorstep.
No, I definitely do not agree with that one. Absolutely not. Because again,
toxic as it comes.
Yeah, you don't even know who this person is. They could be the loveliest person, but you don't know someone until, you know, a couple of months in. Honestly, like even like what we spoke about before about the Tinder swindler, like that's a pure example. They trusted that guy, and what was it, within 2 months, they see his true colors. But yeah, you don't want someone to know where you live. No way.
Oh, not at all. Not exactly where you live on the first date. And it's like, also there's that expectation there when a guy or somebody turns around and goes, oh, I'll drop you home. It's like, you've got that in the back of your mind, probably as a woman, that they want to come in for a coffee or they want something else out of this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes. So but say, for example, what advice would you give to someone? So say someone's been, if they are walking home, and they say, okay, I'll just walk you to your door. You know, what advice would you give to someone to get out of that? Because, see,
it's the whole getting out of
it? Because you could be at a nearby bar to where you live, and then you can say, oh, I'm going to just walk home. I'm not going to get a taxi because I only live 5 minutes. That person can say, let me walk you.
That's where the problem. Just turn around and go, I'm getting a taxi. You get a taxi. Yeah.
Pay the taxi for a 2 minute walk.
Well, because at the end of the day, it's like that is the safer way to get home, get an Uber, get something like that. Don't say I'm only 5 minutes away, because obviously that it's protecting yourself, isn't it?
Yeah. So basically, don't give too much away in the first day of where you live.
Yeah. No, and I tend to drive to dates, like, because I feel that driving sometimes on a first date, what it does is when I drive there, if they do mention a drink, say suggest a drink, then I know the laws are different up in Scotland, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't drink at all.
You can't have one drink and drive. Whereas in England, you can have a certain amount. So I know my limit. I know that I can have two drinks, like something like cider or something like that. And then that's me, you know. Whereas I know a lot of people, they basically like they catch a train in or they catch a bus in or a taxi, and then they have about 5-10 drinks or whatever, and it carries on and carries on. And it's like, be safe on the first date, because also alcohol inhibitions slightly, don't they, with alcohol and stuff like that. So yeah, I would always say either drive to the location on the first date or you get a taxi back, and that's how you do it.
And I also recommend not pinning your location, because sometimes people can say, oh, drop me your location so I know that you've got home. Yeah, don't do that.
Don't drop the location to know that they've got home, or share their location. You share your location with friends and family and stuff like that. So what toxic stuff have you heard?
I guess someone going out with someone because they, for example, for me, like going out with a man because he's a nice guy, like
give a nice guy a chance.
Give a nice guy a chance. I mean, what is a nice guy anyway? It's like, you just, again, it's going back to, you don't know what someone's kind of true colors are until honestly a couple of months. I feel.
You might never know.
Yeah, of course, you might never know. But because they start to say, like, obviously when you start dating someone, you're showing the best of you. Mm-hmm. And then eventually it's like unwrap, like I'm peeling the onion away. Like, yeah, the mask comes down, the true colors come out. Not necessarily meaning that you're a bad person, but your standards will drop necessarily.
Yeah, because everyone puts 110% at the start, but they can never keep that 110%. So what happens is, this is where the mask comes down, because people are trying to be what they're not. What I would suggest to people is just be yourself.
Don't act
like somebody else. Don't try and be what they expect you to be, because all that happens is you can't keep that up forever. And then the mask will come down and you're a different person. Yeah. It might not be the person they like.
And so when people say, just choose a nice guy, and you're like, but if you're not interested, you're not interested. That's it. It's connection. It's chemistry. Stop banging on about nice guy, bad guy, whatever. It's got to be who you're interested in.
Yeah. And anyone that self-proclaims something, anyone that turns around and goes, oh, I'm a nice guy, or I'm different to the others. Mm-hmm. Run, because they're not. It is a red flag. Nobody self-proclaims. Anyone that self-proclaims anything without backup from either qualifications or somebody else saying that that's what they are, is not. So you see it all the time, people going, oh, I'm a nice guy, I'm different to someone else, but they're not.
Yeah,
because they've self-proclaimed it. How can you self-proclaim and say you're different to everybody else?
Yeah, you know? I also think another toxic trait is like that whole playing hard to get, because it just messes with your head. You're questioning everything. You're moaning to your friends, asking them, you know, what does this mean if they're doing this? It's just so toxic.
Yep. And all that happens, like with me, do you know someone plays hard to get or doesn't show interest or anything like that?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what I do? I just turn around and walk away.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, good for you. If you're not interested, that's fine. I know my worth. And it's the whole thing, that whole toxic, well, this is another toxic thing in themselves. The men like the chase.
Mm-hmm.
No, men don't like the chase anymore. Men are literally like, they will go, yeah, I'm not interested. And what you've got to see the chase as is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you've challenged yourself to walk, 50 miles in March or something like that. Once you complete that, what do you do next?
Mm-hmm.
100 miles in April.
Yeah.
You know, once you complete a challenge, you move on to a next challenge.
Yeah.
So if you're playing hard to get and somebody's chasing you, that means you're a challenge. And as soon as they've got you, they will move on to another challenge, because that's what they enjoy doing. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, just going back to that, just if someone's playing hard to get, the fear of like the feeling of rejection, because you're feeling, what do they want? You're questioning. So, yeah. I definitely, when people say play hard to get, just be yourself.
Do you know what other ones I've heard off TikTok?
Oh, no. Let's hear them.
These are hilarious. He should be your boyfriend within 1 month.
Oh, for goodness sake. This whole like time limit. Oh, God, really infuriates me. I can understand if like I've been in situations where I've been seeing a guy for honestly like 6 months and I'm waiting for something to happen, you know, and I always ask, where's this going? And they don't want to put a label on it. And that's because they're basically wanting to play the field, or they just don't want anything serious. But as soon as you date someone, see when people come out and say, okay, you've been dating for a month, you should be boyfriend, girlfriend, that pressure.
No. Because it's just a label.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a label. And the thing is, as long as you know with that person that, you know, you've had the exclusivity chat and everything like that, and they're not sleeping around or dating other people like a certain amount, then the label doesn't need to be there until whenever you decide.
Yeah, it shouldn't be forced. And
no,
I guess another part of that is when people ask, oh, have you said I love you to each other? It's just like, it's none of your business.
Excuse me, what?
I know.
No.
I've been asked that quite a lot by friends. What? Oh, have you said I love you to each other? It's just like, what's it? Why do you care? Like, because that's a lot of pressure as well, because sometimes it can take a while for people to say that's a strong feeling.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's one of those. And the thing is, you've also got to be aware of, if you say I love you to someone, that someone's not just playing lip service and saying I love you too.
Yeah.
Because it's a very easy thing to say. It's the meaning behind it that means a lot more. But Yeah, it's just, it's very toxic in the fact that, oh, a month he should be your boyfriend, and if he's not, get rid of him. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Huh? No.
I know. I'd say another toxic trait is, like, I've heard this from a dating coach, is always be late for your date.
No.
Right, so this will never happen to me because I've got OCD with timekeeping. It's a joke. I am early for everything. Whereas my boyfriend, he thinks being early is rude. And not rude, but he's just like, you don't want the other person's doing. You don't want them to feel like they have to rush things. He thinks like being exactly on time is or just a wee bit late is like the best way.
But on time, yeah, or early, whereas, all the way.
I'm kind of working on my issues because I'm so early for everything. But yeah, I've seen a dating coach say like be like 10 minutes late for your date. And I'm just like, no. What? Think of the, what?
Because that shows a lack of respect to the other person, a lack of respect for their time.
It sets the date up all ridiculous. Wrong. Because that person that's sitting waiting there, or could be standing outside.
Or standing outside in the cold.
All they're thinking is, am I being stood up? Am I being stood up? Yeah. And it just sets it off in a bad tone.
So I'm never ever late. Mm-hmm. Unless, like, when I was dating, I drove quite a long way and there was traffic, lots and lots and lots of traffic.
Oh, the anxiety.
So, I messaged, I voice noted and gave him a call and said, listen, I'm going to be late because of the traffic, mm-hmm. and explained. I said, listen, I hate being late and all this lot. And they're like, you don't have to apologize. It's fine. You know, you're coming all this way.
Yeah.
It's seen. So I think if you are going to ever be late, and you know you're going to be late, and it's a legitimate reason for being late, let them know, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, again, it's just that being honest with someone, communicating with someone, letting them know what's going on.
Do you want to know the worst one that I've ever, 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 ever heard?
Let's hear it.
Basically, someone saying, sometimes you don't want to do things in a relationship, and you don't have to, but if you love them, you will.
Oh, for God's sake.
And then they compared going shopping with their partner to sexual intercourse.
What?
And
basically, I don't understand
that. It says, I don't like going shopping with my partner. I hate going shopping, but I do it because I love them.
No.
And I'm thinking, you just compared shopping to basically forcing yourself on your partner, and if your partner loves you, they will...
No, it's ridiculous.
No. You don't ever have to do anything that you don't want to.
That's just awful advice. I've seen this so many times when I've gone shopping and I can see men getting dragged about or sitting there like, I don't want to be here. And I kind of want to go up to them and say, why are you here? Like, you clearly don't enjoy it. You don't have to be here. You can go away and do your own thing. What are you doing? It's just...
Yeah. It's just how he compares the fact that he hates going shopping to the fact of if his partner doesn't want to do anything, she should because he's been shopping or because she loves him, you know. And it's like, right, sex is a lot different to going shopping. You know, it's coercion that he's basically thinking. And this is what I mean. There are some very, very toxic dating coaches out there that shouldn't be giving advice. And again, going back to the self-proclaimed, a lot of people a lot of people have asked this dating coach for his qualifications and he's always skipped the question. And I'm like, is he self-proclaimed? You've got no qualifications to back him up.
Well, another one I've heard that's shocking, this is from online, is testing your partner. So basically seeing if your friends can chat them up, or so say like your partner's on a night out and you can get like a friend who's never met them, can you chat them up and see what they do? Or it could be with online dating, you could have matched with someone and say, can you try and match with this person too and see if they chat to you? It's so toxic.
Well, I've seen people on TikTok that offer a loyalty test. So basically what they do is they take a small fee off somebody that's messaged them, and they will message their partner.
Oh, they're called like honey trappers or something like that?
Yeah, basically, it's a loyalty test, and basically, whatever way you look at it is wrong. If there's no trust or anything like that in the relationship,
yeah,
it's gone.
Yeah, the fact that, like, you're like thinking of doing that means you don't trust your partner at all. Nah. So why pay for someone? Why not just speak to that person and just sort out the issues?
I mean, another one is people feel when you're in a relationship, there should be no privacy. You shouldn't have privacy. You shouldn't have anything to yourself, which is completely wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's like, your phone is your phone, mm-hmm. okay? So whatever goes on, whatever messages you have between your friends or anything like that, that is yours.
Yeah.
If your boyfriend turned around to you and says, I want to look at, can I look at your phone, or let me look at your phone, then what that would be is them not trusting you. Mm-hmm. And the thing, and it's a confirmation bias, where basically what will happen is they're looking for something, they will find something.
Yeah.
Even if there's nothing there, yeah. they will find something. And this is what I mean about the whole privacy. You have to trust your partner. Their phone is their phone, you know. If you want to go through their phone, what's the reason for going yeah. through the phone? Because you don't trust them, you know.
There's something niggling away that is making yeah. you want to look in their phone.
And rather than having communication, you're like, I want to see your phone. And when they turn around and go, why do you want to see that? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's that. You still have privacy. You can still go and do your own things when you're in a relationship. It doesn't mean that you have to let your partner know where you are 24/7 because it just becomes controlling. So
what's your thoughts about if you have an argument with your partner and you immediately run and tell your friends and family about every kind of disagreement you have with your partner? Because
I feel
like there's so many people that, I mean, I've had my friends as well, and they tell me every argument, and I feel like every time I see their partner, I'm thinking, I know everything that's happened in your relationship. No. I feel like things, because tiny disagreements, that's normal. So normal. You don't have to mm-hmm. tell every single person that you know that what's happened.
Yeah, arguments are normal. Disagreements are normal. It's how you deal with them. You know, if you need your space, you need your space.
Yeah.
You tell your partner, like, I just need my space to think about this, and then we'll come back and we'll, like, talk. Yeah. But telling friends and family, all it's going to do is they're going to see one side of the story. And basically, it's like this thing on Facebook where you see it. You used to see it. I don't really go on Facebook. But so-and-so is single. So-and-so is in a relationship. They have an argument and they put it up on there and they're like, oh my God, I am so in love. Da, da, yeah. da, da, da. It's like, no. But there is a reason. There's a bit of a reason that I've been learning about lately, the in love versus true love.
Okay.
And it's quite an interesting thing, actually. So, you know, when you meet somebody and it's like mind blown, like, oh my God, this person is out of this world, absolutely amazing, da, 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 da. That's all the chemicals releasing. You have an overload of chemicals. So what happens is your body starts to get addicted to these chemicals mm-hmm. That have, like, overloaded. And the thing is, that person, normally it's kind of a lust. That's what it more is. So it's called the in love, like, treatment. So what happens is that those chemicals start to go because that person isn't giving you the same feelings, or the honeymoon period.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what happens is, your brain finds that you can replace those chemicals with drama. Drama releases the same kind of chemicals and your body's addicted to it. So this is where it goes from someone being absolutely head over heels with someone and then they're arguing because it's a chemical. Their body is basically addicted to this chemical and they need something to keep it going. And that's why I say it's like, if you do have that, oh my God, this person's amazing, don't jump into anything because it may just be like lust coming out.
Yeah.
Whereas you want the slow and steady release of dopamine.
Absolutely.
And serotonin. And yeah. So that's another thing that happens. But yeah, there's lots of toxic things out there. Another thing is, when looking for advice, yeah, you are what you eat. So if you are constantly watching toxic advice from people, what you will then do is you will probably become toxic yourself because you take it in. If you're watching constantly hate about men, you will start to hate people, hate men, or hate about women. You will start to hate them because that is constantly what is coming in and feeding your mind.
Fill your mind with positivity.
Positivity. If something isn't giving you positivity and or education or good vibes, adding value to your life, don't follow it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because you're so right. As soon as you start following all the kind of negativity, it's going to latch onto you.
Oh, massively. And the other thing is there are a lot of gender-specific coaches. And what the gender-specific coaches, they will be telling, like, let's say it's a coach for women, they'll be going, well, don't do this. But what they're not realizing is the coaches for men are telling the men not to do exactly the same thing. So instead of them coming together and gelling, they're just butting heads, and it's just creating more hate for each other. So this is just be very careful what you process, what you take in and consume. Because final thoughts
are, it's been very educational today, Phil.
Wow, what's going on with us? We normally
I know. Final thoughts, it's reiterating basically about the keeping yourself surrounded by positive people. Go with your gut instinct. Don't feel like you have to follow, you don't even have to follow me and Phil's advice at all. We're just obviously giving you examples, but just be careful and be safe and go with your gut instinct.
Massively.
What's your final thoughts, Phil?
Oh, I think it would be the same as yours. If you are saying no and your gut is saying no, listen to your gut. Don't do it. If you think something's like, oh, that doesn't sound quite right, or it causes you to overthink, and you know that isn't the way that you would want to be treated, don't treat others in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so here has been our TED Talk. Welcome. Oh, geez, very educational episode.
Sure.
And we haven't even got a guest that we can go, yeah, it was them. thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed Aaron's episode last week, which was regarding mental health and his story. And next week we'll have another guest on for you. We're going to keep it a surprise, but thank you everyone for listening, and
goodbye.
We'll get that right one day. They're like 50 episodes in or whatever, but bye everyone.
Thank you for listening.
If you want to find out more, you can follow us at Unhinged and Mumbled Up or
Swipe Forever After.
And if you want to send us an email or check out our website, it is www.uadu.co.uk. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.